Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh. Father, as we approach you on this Sabbath day, we come here first of all to honor you, to give you praises and glory and honor for each of us is simply striving to do your will. We pray, Almighty Yahweh, that you'll bless those here and in the hearing, wherever they might be, that your word is opened up to all. We pray, Almighty Yahweh, that when we are called on to explain, to share, to teach the word, that we'll do it with boldness, that we will accurately tell others of the truth that you've given us. Let us not be afraid. Let us not shrink back. Or how else will they ever know? So, Almighty Yahweh, we ask that you bless the gathering here and for those who are assembled elsewhere, that the word spoken and your word would open up new understanding and a greater appreciation and love for you and your word, and most of all, a desire to follow in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah. So we ask now that you be with us, strengthen us as we learn more of you and as we study and have a zeal to follow and to honor you in all that we do in our lives. This prayer and petition we ask in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. You know, as we look out into the culture we live in, we see a malaise, a widespread decline in the Bible and in an understanding of Yahweh's word. Church attendance is reflected of that. And it's something that's happened, started years ago, and it only keeps declining more and more. You know, when I was growing up, it seems like growing to church was something almost everybody did. It's almost understood that you're going to go to church once a week or more. And they started this Wednesday Bible study that, I guess, later on, to get people to come even more often. But for some reason, it doesn't really help for many ministries today. But one of the upshots was we had a more law-abiding culture, a society that had greater concern for each other's welfare. But no longer. Society is changing. 80% of churches today are stagnant or losing membership. A 2013 Pew Research survey found that only 37% of Americans attend worship regularly every week. 3 in 10 say they never or rarely go. Ask most pastors today what percentage of inactive members they have, and they'll say anywhere between 40 and 60%. You know, in treating the symptoms rather than the cause, many are switching from Bible-based teachings to pleasing the congregation any way they can in order to fill their pews. Today's church culture has become user-friendly with softball teachings. And when it comes to some, you can take that literally, because some churches are even starting sports ministries. You can imagine that. To draw the youth. They call it seeker sensitive. Please the worshiper any way you can to draw them in. The aim is to find ways to make attendance through entertainment more attractive. Compete with Disneyland, Hollywood, Broadway, anything that you can do to compete with the world. Many larger ministries are turning to consumer-based business models. They take surveys to give the congregation what they want. Put a Starbucks in the vestibule. Stock the youth areas with Xboxes and three-tiered playgrounds. And run live social media feeds during worship. So what's going on here? What is the deal? Where's the Bible? Have churches completely lost touch with their mission? The Apostle Paul was very concerned about today's lack of Bible teaching. He prophesied about it to the young Timothy when he was training him to the ministry. He said in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Therein is the central problem today. That's not happening. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and, there's that word, doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Muthos in the Greek meaning a fictional tale. Clearly we see the fulfillment today of this prophecy. It's everywhere. How many are truly interested in the pure, unadulterated word? How many hunger for sound doctrine and desire above all to conform their lives to it? Motives for church going today are all over the map. Most of them have little to do with the scriptures. The task of a true worshiper is twofold. Find the truth and then live it. But that's not happening today. They're derailing it from the very first step because the word isn't being taught. The following are seven key reasons people attend church. Number one, a majority go to church today because it's all about them. They go to feel good and to feel good about themselves. Many are looking for entertainment, and if they find their church boring, they go church shopping. A second reason many attend is for socialization. They go to touch base with their friends or to find new ones. They see it as a club, kind of like the Lions Club or stopping at the corner cafe for morning coffee. The third reason is all about the pastor. They are attracted to his charisma or his speaking ability, or maybe he's a good singer, or they're drawn to his friendliness or to his family, or they like the prestige of going to his big elaborate church building. Many attend for the sake of their children. They like the youth programs. For many, it's all about youth activities. If the youth program changes or dies, they go church shopping. For others, it's all about networking. They go for business contracts, maybe to schmooze with a potential employer who goes there. Reason six is that some simply have never been anywhere else and do not know any different. They grew up in their church, have always attended their church, and they'll die going there. Others attend a church half-heartedly only because a spouse or a friend wants them to. Some go just to ease their guilt. They show up a couple times a year, especially around the pseudo-holy days. All of these are self-focused reasons today for worship in the 21st century. It's all about me. Does the church fit me? And how do I look in it? Like I'm shopping for a coat. The last reason most attend today is to find the truth. And I'm not meaning to be cynical here, but it's not only the last reason on my list, but it's the last reason people will go. They know that their salvation depends on it, and they're willing to make whatever changes are necessary in their lives toward that goal. Even hard things like humbly repenting of their sins and living a different life as shown by the word. Those with hearts desiring to serve Yahweh, to live a life pleasing to him, they are the ones who one day serve as priests in Yahshua's kingdom if they remain faithful. Well, considering the popularity of all the other reasons, going to church and an earnest desire to follow truth probably will never rise beyond its basement level. Not until Yahshua returns. At that time, he's going to turn that list upside down. There will be no other reasons except the last one. All other self-centered, superficial reasons will be long forgotten when Yahshua comes to this earth. He said in John 4:23, but the hour comes. This is a prophecy. You know, Yahshua is one of the greatest prophets, if he was the greatest prophet on earth. And now is, he says, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Spirit and truth. He's looking for those who will find the truth and live it. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He tells it again. You've got to find the truth, or you're not worshiping Yahweh correctly and properly and acceptably. True and acceptable devotion to Yahweh is serious business, because it's the only business. It's not about the worshiper, but about the one who's worshiped. It's about giving him the honor that he demands by living his word. That's the whole reason we study his word, so that we can live his word. You know, back in the day, attending services for the sole purpose of worship would not even be a question. Well, that's what church is, you know. Not anymore. Only a few decades ago, a lot more churchgoers searched the scriptures in a sincere desire to get their lives and worship right. They read their Bibles. They knew intuitively that it was all about truth and conforming to it. Far more had a heart hungering to learn the Bible, to understand it. Especially, and this is the big key, to change their lives and do what they actually learned. Follow what Yahweh commands. You know, that's the reason some of the Sabbath/feast-keeping groups did so well in the 60s and 70s. You know who I mean, most of you. They sowed in a culture much more fertile and receptive to the one we have today. When these groups revealed the errors of nominal worship, many were convicted to seek out truth, to find it and follow it, to change their lives. They wanted deep down in their hearts to make the proper scriptural change they knew that Yahweh demanded. They knew it, and they felt it, and they wanted nothing else than that, no matter where it took them or what it cost. You know, I talked to a lady this past week who said she'd been 60 years in the largest church on earth. She said that's 60 years of being wrong, she told me. Now, in the time she had left, she's 60 years old, she says she wanted nothing more than to get it right in the time she has left on this earth. And she says, we have helped her immensely toward that, and that was nice to hear. I wish everyone called to the truth had this resolve. I wish everyone felt that way. Do what I can now while the time is available to do it. But today that kind of conviction is fading fast. Paul warned about this very thing when he also happened in his day. He said in Galatians 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Messiah unto another evangel or good news. Which is not another, he says, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the good news of Messiah. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other good news unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Does it square with the word? If not, he says it's false, and we should have nothing to do with it. Now notice what Paul, why was so resolute. Why he was so resolute about the problem that he repeated it to make sure his point was clearly understood. Verse 9, he said, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other good news unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Compare what's being taught today with what the apostles taught and practiced, and see if they square. See if they compare. If not, he says, let them be accursed. That's pretty strong words. But you know, Yahshua was strong about the religious leaders of his day. We know how he came down on them and the words he used and the names he called them, because they knew better, but they had other motives. Theirs wasn't concern for the people. They had selfish motives. The prophet Jeremiah, thousands of years ago, also pinpointed this issue in an amazingly accurate statement and a prophecy for our day. In 5:31, he writes, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?" You know, this dedicated prophet said that both prophet and priest falsify the scriptures, and the people like it that way. They love to hear easy, smooth things. Not tough things like changing your life, repenting, and following a whole nother life on this earth of following Yahweh. They didn't want to hear that. Then he asks, "What are you going to do when it's all over? Now what? You know, what's going to happen when you're held to account and made to answer for yourselves?" Never neglect to preach and teach the unadulterated word, he said. Never neglect that. Don't abandon the very purpose for why you minister. Paul speaks directly to ministries in our day in Galatians 1:10. "For do I now persuade men or Elohim? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Messiah." If we're out to do that, you might as well hang it up, because you are no longer the servant of Messiah. You're a servant of something else, of someone else, or some other goal or some other motive. He says, don't even entertain the seeker-sensitive approach. Right worship is not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to change hearts and behavior. That's what it's all about. We're not here to entertain anybody. We're here to change, to follow in the footsteps of Yahshua, to guide others to do it, to help others do it. That's what it's all about. The assembly is a refuge of truth in a desperate world. It's a hospital for the ailing spirit. It's not Six Flags and never was intended to be. Don't be a people pleaser and don't let public pressure change your message. We find that over and over and over by the apostles. If we here speak to a crowd of 1,000, or if there's only 2 in the audience, this message is going to be the same. Preach the word. Preach the word. Because it's so important that people change their lives. That's what we're here for. We're to preach the word when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. It is Yahweh who draws the willing heart. Yahweh does. We can't force people to believe what we teach. We just trust that Yahweh's going to draw them when they hear something that pricks their heart. It's up to him to summon the obedient into his family. Paul said, he said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but that was just us being a vessel. It's Yahweh who gave the increase." Yahweh did. Yahweh determines who will hear and obey the message. We're facing an age-old dynamic here. Many who hear our message on television, online, through the printed page, are intrigued by what they see, what they hear, intrigued by it. But just like the Greeks listening to Paul on Mars Hill, that's as far as it goes for most. Once their curiosity is satisfied, they're gone. On to something else. That's what the Greeks did. They're into philosophy, and they just love to entertain some new idea. Well, here comes Paul. Wow, what's he talking about? This unknown one. What's that all about? Boy, this is fun. As soon as Paul left, they're back to their whatever they were doing, some other philosophy. Oftentimes, that's what we see when it comes to preaching Yahweh's word. When it comes to taking the newfound knowledge and understanding to heart by putting Yahweh's clear teachings into their lives, into practice, that's where the interest typically nosedives. We counsel people at baptism that they must now be faithful to the Sabbath, to the feasts, honoring Yahweh in every way in their lives, because you're making a commitment, a permanent commitment. You're making a covenant with Yahweh and living a new and different life now with Yahweh coming first in everything. And if you can't do that, you're not ready to repent and be baptized. You're not ready to repent and convert. You have to have a heart willing to obey. You know, and some, for some, this commitment is just too much. It's just too hard. They love this present world more, like old Demas, who had too much love for this world to follow Paul. He left him because he had a liking to the material, to the world, more than of Yahweh. Love not the world, John wrote, nor the things in it. If you do, the love of Yahweh isn't in you. It's Yahshua's parable of the sower all over again. The seed sprouts, takes off, does well, and all of a sudden, nosedives. Requires too much to change lives for many. They're happy with the status quo. They're comfortable in their sins. Let's face it, that's what it's all about. They don't want to change their life. Or at least, not uncomfortable enough with their life to change it and be blessed by Yahweh. But wait till things begin to heat up. Wait till things become difficult. See how much their worldly comfort will mean to them then when they're running from pillar to post. Like the change in attitudes that happened after 9/11. You notice the whole world was like different. At least for a couple weeks, people got serious. They got very serious. Sports didn't have the appeal. They didn't care to go to movies. They were just afraid what's happening next. This is just a small thing. Wait till the whole thing is imploding and see how people are going to react. Then they're going to come to you and say, tell me more. I'm really concerned about my life, my future. And Yahweh, unless they do, seeing the lack of commitment, will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. You had no regard for me then. You didn't take me seriously then. You had no time for me. When you had lots of opportunity to have time for me, you didn't do it. It's your heart I'm looking at right now. It's how you really are inside. Millions are counting on winning the prize, but they don't want to run the race. Oh, I'll be resurrected. As soon as I die, I'm going you know where. That's what they want. All for doing nothing, but they say believe. They want salvation, but not enough to run the race to gain the prize. They expect it. They expect gain without pain. Yahshua the Messiah was clear when he said to live by the word would not be a walk down easy street. He said those who follow the scriptures would not win any popularity contests. Oh, and don't we know? He promised in the world you're going to have tribulation. Today's popular message is you can be healthy, wealthy, and wise just by believing. The scriptures never teach that. That's more fiction. More fiction tales, as we read in 2 Timothy 4. Only in the life to come will true blessings reign. And you know, the trials that come with obedience are nothing compared to the blessings of that day. Nothing. I talked to a man this week. He agreed. He said that the present world, the present situation we're in is we'll say how trivial. How trivial compared to what I've got now. In fact, he quoted Romans 8:18. I'll do that. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of Elohim. How about that? You're going to look back and say, you know, that it was tough, but we got through it. You know, whenever you have a pain or something, you endure some hurt for a little while, and then it goes away, and then you forget about it. Same thing in this life. Yeah, it's tough, but you know, it cannot even start to compare with what's coming. The blessings that those who are faithful will have. If the whole point and purpose of learning truth is to apply it, as the scriptures tell us abundantly from Genesis through Revelation, why the lack of commitment today?
Why?
Learning without doing is just a mental exercise, a total waste of time in Yahweh's eyes. If you just throw it all away, then why even bother? If you agree that the Sabbath is the seventh day, but continue doing your chores, shopping, and golfing on Saturday, there's no point to it. You're no better off than the heathen man. If you agree with the scriptures that the feasts are the only holidays commanded in scripture, annual holidays by Yahweh, and kept in both Old and New Testaments, and made for all his people in every era and every generation, but you never observe them with the body of believers, then your endorsement is pointless and useless. Knowledge without application is going to get you nowhere in Yahweh's eyes. If you don't follow what you know, you might as well not even follow. Not even worry about it. If you proved his name, Acts 4:12, that there's salvation in no other, but don't commit to it, you might as well join the Greeks up on Mars Hill. If we really serve him as we say, we'll honor him as he says. We'll do everything he says. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images, Isaiah 42:8 tells us. His name appears in Bible manuscripts 6,823 times. Isn't that enough? James 4:17 says, enlightenment is serious business. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, it's the same as sin. Same as sin. It's sin. Sounds like sin doesn't even require a broken law in this case. If you know what's right and don't do it, that's going against Yahweh, is it not? Once you cross the threshold of understanding and know in your heart what is right, now you are accountable. You know, sometimes we see Yahshua. He didn't. The one instance I'm trying to think of when he went to these people and said, aren't you going to teach them the truth? He says, no, it's not for them to understand. It's almost like if I do, I know they're not going to follow through with it. So I'm not even going to tell them. Later on, they might learn it. Right now, they're not ready. He knew that, apparently. If you explain the truth to somebody and they understand it, then it is up to them to do something with it. Then they're accountable for following it. And that includes all the Ten Commandments and all the laws and all the living principles that Yahshua taught as well. Yahshua showed us how to live in the scriptures, how to apply these things, you know, day in, day out. These apostles and disciples were following him around, you know, and watching him, observing him. He faces a situation and he deals with it the right way. And then they could go and take that same opportunity when they face that problem to deal with it the same way. He was teaching, teaching, teaching and everything. Not just what he said, but in what he did and how he acted and how he lived. They were learning. That's why they followed him around. He didn't like, okay, I'm going to be gone. I'll see you next Sabbath. We'll sit down and you know, I'll tell you some more things. Just wait for me. He brought them along, and they learned. If you've seen the truth and proved it, but do nothing further with it, you're burying your gift. Yahshua talked a parable about that. Putting it in the ground and giving it back to him. Well, here it is. You didn't even increase it. You didn't do anything with it. You didn't grow from it. You didn't help others with it. No, here it is. You can have it back. He said, well, then give it to somebody who's worthy of it. Give it to somebody who can do something with it. Someone who really honors me. Once you say, yes, that is what the word teaches, then you now must go forward with it and stop slipping back into past error. You know, there are many obstacles and roadblocks in following the truth. And our culture breeds laxity and irresponsibility. Think about it. Government gifts, they call them entitlements, are eagerly accepted by otherwise able-bodied people who allow the rest of us to support them when they should be supporting themselves. Would you believe 50% of Americans, 50%, that's half of us, receive some form of government aid or subsidy in some way. So the other half is supporting the other half. Poor health resulting from bad choices like alcohol abuse or nicotine addiction is excused Oh, it's not your fault. You can't help it. You have a disease. No, I have a choice. It seems nothing's your fault anymore. And that's getting into the way people look at truth as well. Nothing's your fault. Many lack the integrity to take responsibility for their actions. So we have no fault insurance. We have no fault divorce. We have no fault attendance policies in some businesses. A denial of responsibility is followed by a lack of commitment. Nowhere is this more serious when it comes to serving Yahweh. We are all responsible. It doesn't matter what the world says or thinks. We are responsible for what we know. The biggest impediment to repentance and the need to put into practice what the scriptures tell us, the biggest one, arises from malpractice in the pulpit itself, at ground zero. The assault on biblical teachings of obedience saturates our world. Church after church will tell you, all you need is faith, nothing more. If salvation truly comes from faith alone, then why bother with all but one verse in the Bible? Why have Old Testament? Why have New Testament? Why have all these examples? Why have all these teachings, all these parables, all these things? Why bother? All you need is one sentence. Throw out the rest of the Bible. What's the point? One sentence could replace all 31,102 verses. You don't need all of that if that's the truth. Forget the hundreds of passages in the New Testament instructing and examples in righteousness and obeying Yahweh's word. Never mind the Savior's 3.5 years of arduous teaching on this earth where he had to face opposition every day to teach the Father's will, his word, as well as his own standard of obedient following while he walked this earth. And all he taught his disciples to do and to live, forget all that. What's the point? As the Father gave me commandments, so I do, he said in John 14:31. You know, an old favorite proof text is Romans 10:9. Maybe you've had this thrown at you. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Master Yahshua, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, there it is. That's all the sentence we need. That's all of the Bible we need, right? Why the need to obey? It's right there, many are told. But they don't read the next verse. Read the next verse. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you believe to the point of righteousness, you're changing your life to match your belief. You're living right. You put your belief and understanding into daily practice. And that's what righteousness means. That's what righteousness means in the scriptures. How do I know? Well, it's from the Greek, meaning holy, meaning set apart. How? Through obedience. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not. He's defining it for us. Righteousness is sin not. Sin is disobedience. Sin is breaking of Yahweh's statutes. 1 John 3:4. Righteousness means not sinning. It means obedience. You want more proof? Luke 1:6 tells us that John the Baptist's father and mother were both righteous. Does that mean they had only faith alone? They only had a belief? Look again. And they were both righteous before Elohim, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of Yahweh, blameless. There it is. Obedience to the commandments, to Yahweh's will, makes one righteous. Yahshua told a woman in Luke 11:28, who was trying to educe his blessing for his mother Miriam. You know, Yahshua, several places in Scripture, they tried to pump up his siblings, his family, and he always turned it around and pointed to his spiritual family every time. He said, Well, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of Elohim and keep it. This is my family. These are my people. Keep means to observe, to obey. The obedient are those who are blessed. That's what it's all about. You can't be a sinner and righteous at the same time. You can't be doing righteousness but thinking wickedness. Doesn't work. Or thinking obedience but living a life of disobedience. But masses of people are under the illusion that they can do that. You can do that. Just go, you know, and have your sins forgiven once a week or whatever. And then go back and do it again. You can live for yourself and still have everlasting life just because you say you believe. You see, that's what I call malpractice in the pulpit. Others think they can go halfway and still be saved. James 2:10 tells them, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point is guilty of all." It just makes you a lawbreaker. Doesn't matter which law, you broke the law in that definition. All of us will face the one who wrote the book. Now is the time to make the best understanding we can of that book and to follow it. Now is the time to make the most opportunity each of us has been given to please the one we worship. You know, a lot of megachurches, especially the ones on TV, pander to the selfish interests of their audience. It's so obvious. They might as well throw this away because they never bring it. They never open it. They just talk. Don't say anything. They also set this low standard for lots of ministries that emulate them. They're megachurches because they do everything but preach the word. That's what people want to hear. Everything but the word. If you go there, no need to bring the Bible. You'll never open it. The audience just wants to feel good. So they're served up a smorgasbord of feel-good, warm and fuzzy messages. Nothing there, nothing controversial. Throw in lots of psychology and sociology. Entertain them with cute, shallow stories, along with a visual feast on Jumbotron screens. That way they'll keep coming back, and the megachurch can keep getting more mega. Today's gospel-like sermons are clones of superficiality. There's no meat. There's not even any nutrition, spiritually speaking, in what they say. Don't ever say anything life-impacting. Never make the listener feel uncomfortable about his sinfulness. Oh, no, don't do that. He might not come back. The last thing you want is something that convicts, which leads to repentance and obedience to the one they claim to worship. Don't bring up sin and repentance. So they don't. They don't talk about sin at all. They don't talk about repentance at all. You can listen for hours and hours. You're never going to hear it, no matter what message is given. That'll just drive people away. Yahshua already took care of all that anyway. Just trust him to handle the tough stuff, like your ever-present sin. Let him have it. You don't have to do anything about it. You just go on autopilot. Just keep building self-esteem. That's what you need to do. Make people comfortable in their sin. They need to feel good about themselves. Tell them Yahweh just wants them to be happy and they deserve joy. Live for today and live your best life now. The prophets and apostles would be aghast at all this flim-flam. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The apostle Peter or Paul sitting in the audience and hearing this stuff. Where am I? Is this supposed to be Bible-based, or what are we talking about here? I don't get it. What am I doing here? Teachings about conversion and obedience never roll off their lips. Neither does the subject of sin and its destructive work in our lives. Really, it's spiritual malpractice at the highest level is what it is. And it was one of the hot topics that Yahshua and the apostles railed against. Constantly, they battle the religious leaders. In the scriptures, Israelites came to the temple for one thing, to worship Yahweh. That's what they came for every week, every Sabbath, just as he demanded. They came regularly, and they learned how to be one of his. learned how far as well they had strayed from him if they had. It was all about discovering more about him and serving him, which is the most important reason for coming. You know, we emphasize truth and right doctrine at YRM because that's how we learn about and worship Yahweh as he commands. And that's why we do it. Titus 2:1 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." So, hence we do, the best way we know how. John 4:23, "But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him." I get a lot of encouragement from passages like that. He seeks those who want to worship him in truth. Have we got it all right? No, I'm sure we don't. Are we striving to get it right? I hope we are. Do we still have things to work on in our life? Sure we do. Are we perfect? No, we're not. Nobody is, but we're striving. It's the only thing we can do. It's the best we can do in this life. And so that's what we do. Why would you want to attend some place where the word isn't preached? Why would you want to do that? Why would anyone go to a backward unless they were apostatizing somehow? A man we once baptized years and years ago at a feast later asked, "What group should I support? What group? Let me think a minute. Why did you come here? Why did you come to us for immersion in the first place? Why don't you just flip through the phone book and say, under church, and go, got one there. Why did you come to us? Does preaching the truth make any difference? If it doesn't, then just pick one. If it means so little to support those who teach according to Scripture, to help those find that truth, if it means so little to you, then go ahead and, you know, support whatever you want. But I kind of thought he was well beyond that, at least in his counseling. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Anything other than worship taught in the Scriptures is idolatry, whether it be a metal image or a vaunted self-image wanting personal gain. It's all idolatry if it doesn't focus on Yahweh. I don't care where its focus is. If it's not on Yahweh, it's idolatry. Most churches today want to be social clubs. They want to water down, have low impact, non-judgmental teachings that have no connection with either Old Testament or New Testament. The credos of modern Protestantism don't even match what the Protestant founders believed and practiced in the 16th century. And 16th century Protestantism ranged far afield from what the apostle taught. And yet, they'll say, "I am," fill in the blank, some denomination, "that defines me. That defines me because I believe they're right." Okay, well, how do they match up with apostolic teaching? How do they match up with what Yahshua taught? How do they do that? You know, it's all about the Scriptures. What changed? Was it the Bible? You know, both Yahweh and Yahshua said they changed not. They don't change. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all sorts of strange teachings. Hebrews 13. I want to read verse 8. Let's see if I can get there real quick. 13, verse 8 and 9, actually. It says, "Yahshua the Messiah, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart is established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Don't be carried away with such things. Follow the word closely every day, and you'll never go wrong. That's the measurement. That's the yardstick we gauge our life by. You know, that is the test stone. That is the cornerstone of our life, the scriptures. We may not get it right. We may not get it, you know, here and there. We may make mistakes, but we strive to keep going. But you're never going to go anywhere if you don't start, if you don't begin to keep the word. If it's all just interesting stuff, you there on Mars Hill just wanting to hear something new but not apply, why? What is the point? A crown of everlasting life in the kingdom awaits those who are committed to Yahweh. So my message today is for those who have made the commitment, keep going. Keep those commitments, don't look back, and strive to walk that narrow way. One day we can all welcome each other in the coming kingdom. May Yahweh bless you.